It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning, and Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. So we're starting things off. Kind of a different format today for both boys and girls basketball. They have a Saturday game, and kind of a first thing where they're, I think it's kind of a Camden Conference against some teams in South Dakota. I know the boys played Milbank here over Christmas, but first-time event. It got canceled last weekend, and some of the teams maybe aren't playing because they had scheduled today, but Lacaparo will be later on this afternoon. So let's talk about this past week, Robin, and then feature what's going on this afternoon.
Yeah, good morning, Dick. We had a couple games this week to play. Last week we ended up on Friday. We beat YME, and Tuesday we went traveled over to take on Benson, who's a kind of a team very similar to us, maybe a little bit younger, but size-wise and record-wise is very similar. So felt it was going to be one of those games where, you know, if we come out and able to shoot the basketball and compete, I think it was going to be a close game, and this one just got away from us. We were trailing 37-27 at halftime, just struggling to make shots. They played a 2-3 zone, and they just kept packing it in, and we weren't able to knock anything down from the outside, and my fault is we relied too much on the three-pointers, didn't have enough touches for the inside guys, but yet they have a couple young kids in there that are 6'6", sophomore and a freshman kid, that really altered shots for us, but we weren't able to get any of those things going where we'd miss the outside shots, and then they just kept packing the zone in tighter and tighter and tighter, and their younger kids were making shots from the outside, and like I said, we went into the locker room down 37-27, talked to the guys, I said, hey, just you got to trust yourself out there. I relate it to baseball. I've done a lot of things with baseball. So it's like throwing strikes. The harder you try to throw a strike, the more difficult it is. I said the same thing with shooting a basketball. The more you try to think about it or aim it, the tougher it is for it to go in. And I could see that the guys, the frustration was there. It feels good coming out, but it just isn't going in. And then you start pressing a little bit more. And the second half got away from us pretty quickly, and they outscored us 41-28, and we lost the basketball game 78-55. We just didn't have it on the night, and I have to tip my hat to Benson. They were ready to play. Their kids were enthusiastic. They played with a lot of passion and a lot of heart, and not that we didn't do those things, but when the shots aren't falling in basketball, it just, yeah, you want to play defense, and we talk about defense, but you could just see it. It was a frustrating thing for the kids to go through, and it felt bad for them. We got back to the locker room Wednesday. We get out to practice. I showed them the stats from the game. We went through it, and everybody looked at it, and I said, now that you're done looking at it, take that, tear them up, crumple them up, and throw them in the garbage, you know, because it's over. Yeah. It's over. Let's move on. We discussed this, you know, the season so far. We're probably not where we wanted to be, but you know, we can't go back and worry about what's past. We can only look at what's moving forward. I feel we're getting healthier. For the most part, we got a full array, minus Carson Young has been out with knee. We got Tygan Allpress back. And let's have a couple good practices and, forget about what's been going on. And like I said, we ended up losing that game, 78-55. Some stats quickly on that game. We were led in scoring by Matt Arndt at 16. T.J. Mitchell had 8, Peyton Rademacher had 8, Davis Patzer was 7, Caden Molden was 5, Eli Hagelin was 6, Brock Murnold was 3, and our first son, Shitaro, had 2. Everybody got in the game and played. Carson Bessonen played. Kagan did not because he was pretty sore. He had finally got a practice in but and played the B-Squad game, and he was pretty sore after that, dealing with his back. Baxter Kauf played, and those are the guys that didn't get in the scoring column but yet contributed. You know, we just, you look at our shooting, they shot the ball 50% on the night. We just didn't have an answer for that. We shot it in the low 30s. They hit 12 three-pointers. They did a nice job on the rebounding side. We had too many turnovers, too, against that 2-3. We ended up with 19 turnovers, and that led to some easy baskets for them. So, like I said, took that stat sheet, crumpled it up, tore it up, threw it in the garbage, and said it's time to move on.
Right. Okay. And then you played last night.
Yep. Last night we traveled to Cottonwood to take on Lakeview, another team very similar to us. They graduated a lot of seniors from last year's team. And so they're a young team. They're hungry. They work hard and compete, and it's one of those games that we said, hey, we look at this, here's a winnable game, but it's always tough to go on the road, and we went over there. Their numbers are down, so we did not have a B, they did not have a B-squad team, so we played a C-squad and a varsity game, and so, you know, it was a little different. We've been used to going on the road, and you play at 4:45 the C, 6 o'clock B, and then later on, so it was back to just a two-game set, so we played them. Same type of thing came out. Defensively, we were right there. We mixed it up. We went a little full-court pressure. We played some man. We played some zone. Again, it was more for me to get the kids talking in a good way. So communicating, making sure we knew what was going on out there, having them thinking about it a little more, put a little extra pressure on them to make sure, you know, when you go full court, zone press, and then once they cross over half court, you go to a man-to-man, you really have to talk because we don't want to leave guys open. And the guys did a really good job of that. But once again, our Achilles heel has been able to put the ball in the hoop. And as far as that goes, you sit and you look at it, go to the halftime, and we're down 22-20. You may look at it, wow, this and that. We had really good looks, and we just couldn't get the ball to go through. You go into the locker room, and you can see the frustration is just mounting on these kids because they've put in so much time, and it's just right now it's just a mental thing because it's not anything to do with mechanics or anything else because they're doing everything the way they're supposed to. They're getting good looks. They're shooting it in rhythm. I thought we had probably our best offensive flow. We really worked the ball around. We snapped it. It was quick. We talked about not getting sticky with the basketball in your hands. The guys did it. We limited some of our turnovers in the first half, but the shots just weren't falling. But like I said, guys, defense travels. By that, I mean, you know, come playoff time or in the season, you always have that ability to play defense. If your shot isn't falling, keep working on those. Keep down. It'll keep you in the game. And we were. So I said, we're down two. Second half, same type of thing. We're getting looks. They're not falling. They're making some shots. We get up six, and then they hit a three, and we'd be back down. We'd have opportunities for a layup or free throws, and they weren't falling in. And it was just kind of a back and forth until about 6-7 minutes, and all of a sudden we got a couple and ones. We got a couple steals on our press for some layups that went in, and we pushed the lead up to 10. Then we just kind of held on, and we ended up winning the basketball game 53-43. Stats, pretty balanced scoring again. We had Davis Patzer lead us with 13. We had TJ Mitchell ended up with, where did he end up with? He had 4. Matt Arndt had 11. Kaden Molden had 11. Brock hit a 3. Baxter Kauf had a basket. Eli Hagelin had 7. Carson Bessman had 2. Everybody got in the game. Tigan got in the game for a run in the first half. Peyton played a full game, did not score, but did some little things that's kind of his role. And Carson Young did not get to play, like I had mentioned earlier, in our first son. So I got all the kids in the game in the first half was kind of my goal, just to get them a sweat, a chance to go out there and compete a little bit. In the second half, we kind of tightened it up a little bit. Without a B squad, I had the full complement of all the juniors to play, so we were able to go a little full court. Rebounds, TJ did a nice job on the boards. He ended up with 14, and Kaden Molden had 10. Assists were pretty balanced with Davis with 4, Kaden Molden with 4. We had TJ Mitchell leading us with 3 steals. Block shots, Eli had 3, and so did TJ on the back end of that press. He was able to do that. Shooting wise, though, for us, we shot it at about 30%. And our 3-point shooting was some good looks. We were 3 of 24 for 12.5%. But like I said, they're all good looks. We weren't forcing it. They're just not going in for us right now. And you got to keep shooting them. And that's what I tell the kids. If it's there, you're in rhythm, you're catching it, shoot the basketball. We were 8 of 17 from the free throw line. So like I said, our shots aren't falling, but yet defensively we're in there competing. And I guess at the end of the day, I told the kids, an ugly win is better than a pretty loss. And we were able to do that. And I credit the kids for not getting down when it's easy to do. It's frustrating. It's frustrating for everyone. But more so for those kids that, you know, when that shot doesn't go through, it makes it harder. But like I said, the kids played great defense, so tip your hat to them, and it was fun to get a win.
Good. C-Squad and B-Squad at Benson, and then C-Squad last night. How'd they do?
I believe C-Squad and B-Squad won both games in Benson. They play a lot of kids at different levels. They got young kids up, and they got a lot of freshmen and sophomores playing at the varsity level. So, yep, C and B won, and then last night the C-Squad won, too. So, okay. Nice for those kids to get a win and get some confidence.
Okay, then let's talk about this afternoon.
Yep, we travel postponed from last week due to the weather that was out there. Which was a smart decision on the schools. You couldn't travel down there. The further south, I heard, the worse the weather was. So they postponed it. And fortunate enough that they rescheduled it. I didn't think that was going to happen with this type of tournament, that many teams. So yeah, we go over to White, South Dakota, which is part of the Dubrook School. Probably a little over an hour drive from Madison, so not far. And we go over there and we play Lower Brule, which is a native school in between, I would say, Chamberlain and Pierce, South Dakota, on the Missouri River.
Okay.
Which is going to be a pretty neat experience for our kids. Obviously, you know, a team we would never, ever play at a gym that we've never been to. So that whole thing, it's a crossover of some Minnesota schools and some South Dakota schools. Tip your hats to those that school down there for putting this together, kind of a fun experience for our kids to be part of.
Sure.
It's just a varsity game. Like I said, we play at 2 o'clock. If you're looking for golf, the weather's nice. It's a little cold, but the roads are good. Come down and watch the kids play basketball. I know they were, this Lower Brule was second in the state 2 years ago. Had some really nice players. Watched some film from that. And right now I know they have a couple of the guards that were on that team are still playing. And then they got a 6'8 kid in the middle that's pretty tall. So we're going to have our work cut out for us. I'm sure it's going to be an up-tempo game. Just from what the film I watch, they like to press and get up and down the court. So our kids are going to be a little tired, but as soon as 2 o'clock rolls around, I think they're going to find their legs. And we're going to go down there and have some fun and compete against a team we normally would never play.
Right, yeah. That'll be a fun experience. So,
and it'll be a great experience.
Yeah. Then later on in the week, you have another game.
Yep, we got back in conference on Thursday. We've been on the road for a while, which we knew early in the season. We're at home. We got Tracy Milroy coming to Lacaparle on Thursday, 4:45 C-Squad, 6 o'clock B, varsity to follow. Tracy's been playing good. They got a couple kids from the outside that can really fill it up. So we'll have our work cut out, but we got to get through today, and then next week we just have the one game on Thursday.
All right. Well, we'll hear all about today and Thursday's game next week on the Culture Show. So thanks for the report. Best of luck today and Thursday. We'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
All right. Thanks, Dick.
Robin Rademacher on boys basketball. We'll be talking with Hank Ireland about wrestling after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
It's like walking through sinking sand, I struggle.
The Dawson Boyd Arts Association announces its return to the Madison Mercantile stage for the next event. The Twins of Franklin will perform Saturday, January 20th, 7 p.m. The Twins of Franklin are a Minneapolis-based indie folk duo made up of Becky Shaheen and Laura Liu. The event sponsor, Odin and Zimbelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center in Madison. Admission $20 for adults, $5 for students. Tickets are currently available online at DawsonBoydArtsPresents.org or at the door or by calling the box office at 320-312-2311.
If you've ever felt like you just can't get in control of your money, you're not alone. You'd be surprised how many people you know are struggling just like you. But it's time for your struggle to end, starting today. Join the Financial Peace University class at Crossroads Lutheran Church in Dawson, starting this January 21st at 4 o'clock, and learn how you can pay off debt, save more money, and build wealth. Discounted rate of $80 for the first 10 participants. For more information and to register, go to the Crossroads Lutheran Church website at crossroadslutheran.net. Peter and Vicki Strand of the Strand Agency in downtown Dawson look forward to helping you with all your farm, business, and auto insurance needs. Give Peter or Vicki a call today at 769-4410. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, and you can find them on Main Street, Dawson. That's the Strand Agency, Peter and Vicki Strand.
Back here in the studio, talking wrestling with Hank Ireland. Just a try this past week, and originally it was set for a duel up in Sauk Center, but you went down to Adrian and wrestled two matches, and Sauk Center Melrose will be in a quadrangular next Tuesday that we'll talk about after recapping the two matches you had this week. So play away there, Hank.
Yeah, our AEDs did a little maneuvering in magic and changed up the schedule a little bit, and Sauk Center's coming to Montevideo on Tuesday, like you said, and we went down to Adrian Thursday night, and it was nice of them to let us into that try there. So it was a little drive we had to take, but it was definitely worth it, you know, to get some matches in. It was a long break we had if we didn't. But
right.
Yeah, we went down to Adrian, and we started off with Redwood. And we put Eli Olson, he had to sit a few matches because he's getting into that match count issue. He's almost up to 45 matches now, so we had to sit him. So we had Trent Boffin, he's a seventh grader. And he, we put him out there, and he wrestled hard, and he was going against another seventh grader, and kind of the thing, you don't want to forfeit to the other team, and they don't want to forfeit to you, so you just put two seventh graders out there, and they had a good match going, and then Trent ended up losing by a pinfall to Nolan Arata from Redwood. And then we had Gavin Mortensen, he received a forfeit, and then Nelson Velazquez at 121 got a pinfall, or no, he won 10-1. It was a good match for Nelson, bumping up to 121. Then Ben Gunlickson got a pinfall in the first period. Grayson Olson kept it going with a pinfall. Holland Shocker got a pinfall, he got a pinfall for us. And then Dan Gunlickson got a pinfall, and Cameron Saffer got a pinfall for us. Then at 160, Mason Peterson lost a really close one to a tough Lucas Buehr. A 4-3 decision. That was a really good match for Mason. Then 172, Max Buehr from Redwood, he ended up pinning Gabe Lowry in the second period. Gabe got in on a few good shots, got in deep, couldn't quite finish them, and then Max Fuhr ended up catching them and pinning them. And then Parker Bothan received a forfeit at 189. Zach DeBeer got a pinfall at 215. And then Brady Rohde got a forfeit for us at heavyweight. So it was a final score of 55-15 for Team United. And then we had Adrian right after that. Eli Olson got us started. We got him back on the mat after sitting for a match. He won 10-1 over a senior at 107. You don't see too many seniors at 107, but Eli had one there, and he got the win. And then Gavin Mortensen wrestled another senior from Adrian and got a pinfall in the first period. Then Nelson Velazquez at 121. We bumped him up to 121, and he lost by a pinfall. He was wrestling a tough Mo Erdman from Adrian. Ben Gunnlaugsson got us going again with a pinfall in the first period. Grayson Olson got a pinfall in the third period for us at 133. Holland Shocker got a pinfall. Dan Gunnlaugsson got a pin for us. Cameron Sather got a pin for us in 29 seconds. And then Mason Peterson received a forfeit. And then at 172, Brian Rohde lost a close one, 3-0. It was a good match for Brian, bumping up to 172. Then Parker Bothan got a pinfall. Zach DeBeer won a 3-2 decision, a good tight match for Zach. And then at heavyweight, Brady Rohde lost by a pinfall to a tough Jaron Winsett, a pretty well put together heavyweight Adrian's got there.
Okay.
And the final score was United 55, Adrian 15. So we won two duels, 55-15, both of them.
Okay. And that was
a good
night.
Yeah,
it was good to see Redwood Falls, because you need that for seating purposes in the section individually. So the only team that I'm sure ADs are working on it yet, but the only team you have not seen as far as a section after Tuesday will be New London Spicer, and they're having a good year. But I don't know if we can make that one up or not. But
We're looking at dates and trying to get them, get us see find a date if we can get to see them, because they're a good team, and that's our section opponent. We want to see them before sections come out. But
right,
it's nice to see you get some two good duels in, and 16-1 on the year the team is, and now we're moving on.
Right,
the next week, and the ninth grade league, they also wrestled on Monday.
Okay,
they had their team qualifier for state, ninth grade league did, and they won their first duel against Quad County, then they lost to Marshall, and then they lost the close one. I think they lost by 9 to Tracy. So yeah, it was good for them to get 3 duels in. And now next Saturday the ninth grade league has their individual qualifier for state, so those guys will be busy with that next Saturday. Luke and Coyle will get them ready, get them in the right spots for where hopefully they can qualify a few wrestlers for the state tournament.
Right, you're right. And it's important they get matches while the varsity does, too. I know on Tuesday they got a number of matches. They matched up with the other teams, and on a adjacent mat, like to watch the varsity, but we also take a peek at them too to see what the future looks like, and it looks pretty bright there. So
yeah, we got good numbers and kids that work hard. So yeah, that's all you can ask for. Kids work hard and listen.
Okay, well, Danny Lee and myself will be doing that quadrangular on Tuesday, and at first it was going to be a tri, but now it's a quad with Sox Center Melrose coming in. So That'll start at 5 o'clock over in Montevideo.
Yeah, it should be a busy night. Tuesday we'll have Sox Center, like you said, and Tracy Milroy, Ballatin, Westbrook, Walnut Grove, I believe they're in the lean and mean ranked, and West Central area, they're ranked in state too. So
right,
we some good wrestling going on to Montevideo Tuesday night, and then Friday we head to Lamberton for invitational tournament there, individual tournament.
Okay.
And I believe there's 13 teams there, so that'll be a good tournament for us to see where we're at there.
All right. Well, thanks for the report. Well, best of luck on Tuesday with the quadrangular and the individual tournament on Friday, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That's Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and be talking girls basketball after this.
I'm with Monica from Monica's Apparel and Accessories in on Chestnut Street in Dawson. Monica, what's happening?
What's happening, Paul Ramo? It's vacation time. Vacation, vacation, vacation. And Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street in Awesome Dawson is filling up her vacation room with a ton of dresses and reversible dresses and skirts and tank tops and capris and sandals and everything for your vacation. But if you want to do a staycation and stay home, Monica is filled to the brim also with wonderful winter apparel. Stop in and see Monica on Chestnut Street today. Hours are Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment, and like me on Facebook.
The Camby Sportsman Club and Camby Fire Relief Association presents their 6th annual ice fishing tournament at Del Clark Lake, Friday, February 9th, and Saturday, February 10th. 4-hour tournament, and Saturday is a 2-hour tournament. Over $20,000 in prizes. It's a family fun event. Food will be available, and listen for live broadcasts on Q92. Register for either event, and you could win $1,000 in cash.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, January 19th through Monday, January 22nd. In Theater Number 1, it's a romantic comedy, Anyone But You, rated R. And in Theater 2, held over Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, rated PG-13. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
The Madison Skating Rink is now open. Come on down from 1 to 6 and 7 to 9 p.m. Bring your figure skates, your hockey skates, play a little hockey, or just skate. Everybody's welcome. And that's the Madison Rink, open 1 to 6 p.m. and 7 to 9 p.m.
Trust Kerry Harding of Southwest Insurance Services in Camby and Grinnell Mutual to look forward on your livelihood. We understand you have a lot at stake in your small business. That's why we offer specialized insurance coverages so you can take care of business. Find the coverages you need to fit your company's operations so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact Kerry Harding, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at 507-223-7248 today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Paul Ramel here in the studio with the Coaches Show. La Caprile Valley girls basketball team, they just had one game, and that was last night, a game you heard right here on Q92 with Mineota. And after the game, we talked with head coach Dylan Erickson, and we'll play that right now, kind of a post-game show from last night.
All right, we're going to visit with head coach Dylan Erickson of La Caprile Valley Eagles. Just one game this week, Dylan.
Yeah, just one game.
A lot of practice all week.
Like I said, I've talked about our schedule, I think, numerous times on the coaches show about one game, three games, and now this week, yeah, it was nothing all week, which is, at this point in the season, the crew we need some court time, so maybe a little bit too much practice almost. We were just ready to play a game, but and then we play tomorrow. Today, everyone,
Saturday, we travel
South Dakota, so we get back-to-back again. Like I talked about, it feels like a college thing. We got the next week, too. We got a Friday, Saturday next weekend, too, so, or 2 weeks from now, I should say.
Well, Mineota tonight, Friday night here, Mineota, you guys knocking the threes to start the game. You had a one-point lead, 11-10, with 12:40 to go, and things looked pretty good there, didn't it?
Yeah, see, we're getting better. You know, there's a lot of progress happening out there.
I think
it's just those stretches I'm talking about, Paul. It was 11-10, and we're up, and probably with the basketball, and then all of a sudden we went on our 6 minutes of nothing. You know, and when I talk nothing, I mean absolutely nothing. You know, it's not a 2-3 minute. We withstand a little bit. We go from playing pretty well to absolutely nothing in that 6 minutes. They went on a 16-0 run. It was 26-11, just like that, and a couple timeouts later. And then we hit a shot before half that kind of thought was going to hit us, and then they hit one right back and went up 16 at half, you know. But, you know, I thought we competed really well the whole first half. And, like, the last thing I've been talking about, the last 4 or 5 games for these girls, we've put a lot of stretches together of good baskets. When these stretches come, they come in 4 or 5 6-minute blocks, and it's just – it's nothing, and we gotta find a way to get off that, and that's what's hindering us right now from maybe having a couple of victories the last 2 weeks here. But again, there's a lot more positives, you know, each game, each week, that I can see it, and I think everybody can see that we're getting more comfortable and we're playing better basketball. And if we can put a whole game together here, start fast like that and put a whole game together, I think we're going to be sitting okay. And but, yeah, it's just –
Mineola, their zone defense, they're aggressive in their zone, aren't they?
Yeah, they were. So, yeah, they were like – so it was a 16-0 run in the first half.
Yep.
And then the start second half, they went on a 15-0 run. And that's kind of where they grew their lead in each half. And we couldn't withstand it. But, yeah, they sat in that zone in the second half, super aggressive in it. And, you know, we should use that to our advantage, you know, but we didn't move the ball well enough in it. Inside and out and touch the corners to get ourselves good looks, and we were just passive in it, and that's what happened after they went on that 15-0 run to start the second half. You could just see us, our mentality just took steps backwards, and we got slower and slower the first half, making reads fast, moving the basketball, you know, playing fast and have confident when we were doing it. And in the second half, when they went on that run again to start the half, we turned it over twice to start the half. You could just see our demeanor just go down and down and down, and then that's kind of played right into their aggressive hand in that second half in the zone. And yeah, we just didn't move the ball well enough and didn't take care of it and started throwing the ball over the gym and letting them get leaks out, and then that kind of sat where it was,
right.
And that's why we end up where we were tonight. But
what positives do you take out of this game?
I'd say the majority of the first half, you know, if you take that 6 minutes out, it's a whole different ball game. You know, even if we cut that 6 minutes in half, it's maybe an 8-point game at half. That's something we can handle.
Yep.
You know, when a team gets up by 15, 16, we struggle.
Yep.
You know, obviously we're only scoring probably 30 points a game right now. Well, we can't allow ourselves to get down by half that, by halftime or anything like that, so we got to stay ourselves in the game. But a lot of positives. I mean, a lot of girls stepping up, hitting shots in the first half in different roles and getting more confident in it. The basketball was moving defensively. We started in our zone, and we got a little lackadaisical in it, so we moved right to man, and I thought we played pretty well there for the most part. You know, they had some dump downs, a couple weak outs, but we did, you know, for the majority of time, I thought we did a pretty good job in their transition. That's how they like to get out and run and play. Did a good job taking that away, and then a couple dump downs that was a point of emphasis for the game and the scout. But again, we're taking steps forward in the right direction. It's just as long as we keep putting them together longer stretches, we're going to be in good shape.
Well, I know the first time out, you called, you saw it coming, you know. And the run coming, you called a couple timeouts there to try. What do you tell the girls to try to stop it?
Yeah, and the first one, I think it was more or less, you know, we knew it was going to come. Yeah, at some point. I mean, they're a really, really good team for a reason. But again, we got tired in the half court, and we started quick triggering down here offensively, threw a couple up, threw the ball away.
Yep.
So we just need to sit on the ball a little bit and then get relaxed. We just need to call out something, get more organized that way, and use the whole shot clock and take a deep breath and then move forward again. But we had those possessions where they were playing fast toward us, and we were trying to play fast back then. We just can't, with a team this year, we can't run with a team like that. We're more of a slower, I wouldn't say a slower pace, but we're more of a pace team right now. We can't get out and run this year. So
you got some stats available
I got
to go through them?
You can go through the scoring. I got a couple stats down there.
Okay.
I can run down and get otherwise if you'd like.
Yeah, if you got time. Callie Kahn had 2 points. Kaya Kranz with 2 points. Kendall Shelstead with 6 points. Claire Borsted got her for one. There are four. I missed up there. Brandy Meyer off the bench with 2 points. And your leading scorer was Jalen Lee. I have her for 11 for Jalen. How about you, Dylan?
Yeah, I have Jalen for 11 as well. I got Callie with six. Callie with five. Kendall with six. Zoe hit a three for us. Kaya had two. And Claire had a free throw for us. And Brandy Meyer had that bucket. That kind of rounds out our scoring for us. And then as far as other stats go a little bit here, we were only 2 of 5 from the free throw line, so definitely are.
Yep.
Yeah, 2 of 5, 2 of 6 from the free throw line, so not shooting the ball as well as we like from the free throw line tonight in key spots. And then Jalen Lee also had 3 assists, had 5 rebounds, a few steals. Claire Borsted had 4 rebounds and a block. Kaya Kranz had a couple rebounds and a steal and a block. Brandy Meyer had a rebound. Callie Kahn had a couple assists and looks like 11 rebounds. So not quite a double-double for her. A steal and a couple blocks. Kendall had an assist and a rebound. Kayla had an assist and a rebound. And Zoe had an assist too. But just too many turnovers again, too, at the wrong time in that six-minute stretch. And then right away in the second half it started. Just throwing the ball over the gym and not taking care of it. And kind of rolled habits of putting the ball over ahead and just throwing it into the defense's hands and not taking care of it. But, again, those stretches are getting shorter, So, you know, when we put a whole game together, it's going to be fun, and it's hopefully going to click for the girls. But right now, we're just going to keep working. We're right back at it tomorrow, or tomorrow morning.
Let's talk about what's happening Saturday for the Eagles.
Yes, yeah, so we're traveling to White, South Dakota at DeBrook High School. We're going to play St. Mary's, the Catholic school in Del Rapids. So we're traveling to South Dakota, get to play a little South Dakota rules, eight-minute quarters, Baden basketball, so it'll be a little different feel for the girls.
Oh, wow.
and some things like that. But it should be cool to get over there and experience that and get somebody we've never seen before, and they know nothing about us, and just roll the ball out and play, and looking forward to that. And, yeah, they call it they're the Dakota Valley Conference, so they're Dakota Valley Classic, and there's some other Camden Conference teams in it as well. I know Camby and Mineota are in it, too. And so we got the 11 o'clock game tomorrow morning, so we got a quick turnaround. We'll be back on the bus at 8:30 tomorrow morning and right back at it.
All right, well, best of luck Saturday in Dubrook, right?
Yeah, Dubrook, yeah.
All right.
So,
thanks a lot, Dylan. Thanks
for covering us, guys. Go Eagles.
Stop by T&D Barnwood Rustics in Dawson this Sunday, January 21st from 11 to 1, Monday the 22nd from 5 to 7 for the rescheduled inventory sale. 75% off home decor, holiday and clothing, 50% off all furniture. Cash or check only, please. That's T&D Barnwood Rustics rescheduled inventory sale this Sunday, January 21st, 11 to 1, Monday, January 22nd, 5 to 7. T&D Barnwood Rustics, located along Highway 212, Dawson.
It's like walking through sinking sand, I struggle.
The Dawson Boyd Arts Association announces its return to the Madison Mercantile stage for the next event. The Twins of Franklin will perform Saturday, January 20th, 7 p.m. The Twins of Franklin are a Minneapolis-based indie folk duo made up of Becky Shaheen and Laura Liu. The event sponsor, Odin and Zimbelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center in Madison. Admission, $20 for adults, $5 for students. Tickets are currently available online at DawsonBoydArtsPresents.org or at the door or by calling the box office at 320-312-2311.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sunday on the season premiere of Prairie Sportsman.
This area has been a transportation route for millennia. The Minnesota River was the highway.
The Upper Sioux Agency was established as a state park, and 60 years later, the land was transferred back to the original Dakota community.
We reached out a little bit further than just the military. We brought a couple Polk County guys. My goal is to have other people see there's people out there that care for them.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS.
Back here at the station, well, we just completed another successful Lacaparo Valley Culture Show. It was a good job by all coaches involved. I don't know, is Dance Line in competition today?
Yeah, Dance Line's in Granite Falls today in a kind of a mini state tournament over there. Starts at 11 o'clock. Cami Mineota there. St. Cloud Cathedral's there. They were defending state champs. Holding Ford's there. They're always in the top 10 in dance and a couple other teams from far away. 11 at Yellow Medicine East High School.
Yeah, and it's so competitive in our particular area because we send three teams out of our section, and there's probably five or six that could probably go and compete.
Yeah, Yellow Medicine East Silhouettes, they always rank high in the state, and Montevideo Gold Dusters, Cami Mineota's really improved each year, and so it'll be an interesting section meet. By the way, thanks for mentioning that, section meet, Saturday, February 10th in Montevideo.
Yeah.
And got wrestling on the 10th, too, the section wrestling that day, too. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. But the Shadows, Lacaparo Dawson Boyd Shadows, boy, they got a target on their back every year.
Yep.
So everybody's out to get the Shadows.
And I got my new Shadow apparel on. You like that, Dick?
All right. Yeah, sweatshirts. So good. Well, we got a little time left over. I'm going to give you some little-known and interesting facts here. a number of them. Did you know that the King of Hearts is the only king without a mustache? The first product to have a barcode was Wrigley's gum. Next one would be Walt Disney. He was afraid of mice. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah. The first owner of the Marlboro Company died of lung cancer. And so did the first Marlboro man.
Oh.
So what's that tell you? Here's one that's interesting. Back in 1987, that's a long time ago, but American Airlines saved $40,000 in 1987 by eliminating just one olive from each salad served in first class.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot of olives.
Yeah. And finally, this is probably my favorite of the day anyway, a duck's quack doesn't echo, and nobody knows why.
Seriously?
Yeah. Here's one that I told a couple of years ago. Maybe somebody out there listening is going to try that. And if you can do it, call the radio station. No piece of paper can be folded in half more than 7 times. Go ahead and try. If you can do it, call Paul here at the station. All right. Thanks for listening to The Culture Show. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Right now it's 9:46. Great music for Bellingham, Marietta, and Nassau on Q92 KLQP-FM.
I'll get you one way.